in terms of building relationships, which, I think in terms of like sales today, it's all about like genuine relationships with people and building that trust. And I think when you're face to face, you can do that a lot more effectively.
You're listening to Stand Out, Get Noticed, the show that helps you communicate with confidence so you can stand out from the crowd and get noticed by all the right people. If you want to be a person of influence and achieve success in business and in life, this podcast is for you. To subscribe to the show, go to thecmethod.com. Hi there, Rockstar. Welcome to episode 48 of the Stand Out, Get Noticed podcast. My name is Christina Cantors and I am your host today. Now, I'm very excited to be podcasting to you all the way from Manila in the Philippines. Yes, I'm here in Manila for a month. I got here on Friday. If you listened to last week's episode, you would have heard me talk about this just briefly. I did say that I was planning on pre-recording four episodes during the time that I was here, but as you may have experienced before, life gets in the way and I wasn't able to get all of those episodes done. So I thought I'm just going to have to try really, really hard and get these episodes done while I am here on the road. So I'm not in my normal recording studio, which is why it may sound a bit echoey here. And also you may hear some motorbikes or roosters or dogs barking outside. So don't be alarmed if you hear some strange noises. You may be wondering why I'm in the Philippines and what I'm doing here. That is a whole other story, and I'm going to be sharing that in another episode, more of a bonus episode, really, hopefully at the end of this week. So I'll see how I go with that. But in the meantime, I want to get in straight into this interview that I did with the wonderful George C.O.C. Samuels of the It Will Come show. I had this chat with George last week before I got to the Philippines. If you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you may know that this is George's second time on the Stand Out, Get Noticed show. He was actually my guest in episode 6, and we talked about storytelling, creativity, and flow. And I really wanted to get him back on the show because he's doing something right now that really, really interests me, and I knew that it would be really valuable to you as well. So George has recently launched the It Will Come show. And George is an offline community specialist. And the first time I met him, he was the community manager at Hub Melbourne, my co-work space. And that's his specialty, building communities offline. So it's not just about, you might think that you might have a Facebook group or a LinkedIn group that you're all active in, but really the magic really happens when you get offline and you start building those relationships. So George's show, The It Will Come show, is a video show and a podcast, and it's all about helping you to find your way in business in life by tapping into communities and entrepreneurship. So have a listen to this conversation and you'll discover, firstly, why having an accountability group is so important. We talk a lot about that. We also talk about communicating in today's modern world and the 10-second Snapchat pitch and why that's becoming more relevant than the 90-second elevator pitch. You'll also learn why building relationships offline is critical to achieving success in your business or career. We had some really interesting things come up in this conversation, so I hope that you enjoy it and that you get something out of it. Show notes will be at thecmethod.com/itwillcome. Okay, so let's jump into the conversation with George C.O.C. Samuels. So tell me how you're going with your show. I know you're producing a lot of video content.
Oh, yeah.
How are you going with that?
Oh, man. It's pretty crazy. I've got... So today we release episode 38. I'll be hitting episode 40. I've been doing 4 videos a week, 1 article on Fridays, Saturday break, and then Sundays I've got the podcast interviews. So the reason why I went down this route was because of what I was hearing from Gary Vaynerchuk about, wherever your audience is, you need to be as well. And also for these early days, I was looking at just magnifying myself. And I found that like if I was just able to put myself in all these channels that I know my audience lives, then it doesn't matter so much for me in the early days about like how many likes or comments or shares I get, so long as that they're somehow making their way back to the website, or they just get used to my personality or my face and my voice, etc.
So which channel has been the most successful for you?
Yeah, Facebook has been the most successful. Last time we chatted, you were asking me about like if I'm uploading separately to Facebook and YouTube.
Mm.
I'm still doing to YouTube because, well, like even yesterday, I got a comment from some random guy, and you know, I'm wanting this sort of cross-pollination of channels. So Facebook, in terms of traffic, based on what I'm seeing from my website in the back end, Google Analytics, it's showing that that Facebook is the highest source of traffic. YouTube, I think that's more there just for exposure and for people just to find stuff, you know, and that's okay because I have this sort of like 18-month plan of just consistent effort and just build it up that way. It's also more easily embeddable into the WordPress posts. That's also why, yeah, putting it to YouTube.
What I really found impressive about you, because I remember talking to you about when you had the idea for the It Will Come show, and you're like, yeah, I'm thinking of doing this and doing this and producing all this content. And then you went and you executed, like, yeah, seemingly straight away. Yeah. And I've seen a couple of people, you know, on social media who've been posting, or they've told me that they're wanting to start a podcast, but they're being held back and it's just taking them ages and they're procrastinating. What's different about you to make you just execute and just start this thing? Because starting a show isn't easy, and people, you know, it's often fear that holds people back. What made you just go for it?
Yeah, good question. What made me go for it? I think a whole bunch of things. One, I'd been observing for about 5 years. So where the other folks who, you know, may talk about it, but have that fear of executing, you know, I was in that place over the last 5 years while I was watching all my favorites online. And then you had timing. So the time when I started the It Will Come show, obviously that was in between gigs, right? So, you know, I had finished up with the tech startup that I was with for a while. And then I was actually wanting to solve my own problem, but I wanted to do it in a creative way. So the problem at the time was, how do I keep myself motivated while I'm on the hunt for my next gig? And how can I leverage this in a way that would allow me to, one, use it in my job interviews, two, get my thought leadership out, and three, have something to look forward to when I wake up every day? And those are the three main things. So I'd probably say it was really, as opposed to, you know, looking at the fear of starting, it was cementing my why. And I know, you know, it's kind of overused these days, but really that was the main thing. So the why was, you know, how do I solve my own problem right now? You know, it's something immediate, so obviously it's relevant, it's timely. And how can I do it in a way that is connected to my bigger picture? And, you know, I've always talked about It Will Come, and it's always been like my catchphrase. And I was like, how can I turn that into something that could be part of my brand? And I was like, well, you know what? I've seen what all these guys have been doing. Why don't I do something for myself? Luckily as well, I've got the skill, so I didn't have to learn anything new necessarily. It was more about just, I knew that small habits every day breed success. And I was like, well, why don't I just apply the same principle to this type of content?
Mm. And one thing I really like about your show is that you didn't let perfectionism hold you back. And
yeah,
you know, I've been talking about doing videos for a while now, and I really want to have a really nice setup, and I want it to, because I was watching these Wistia tutorials and they're like, it's really easy, just get these nice lights and get this nice backdrop and then get this light. And I was like, yeah, I'm gonna do that. And I haven't bought any of that stuff yet, and I still haven't produced any videos. And what I like about what you've done is you haven't bothered with having a professional setup, and you sit there in front of your camera and you just do the damn videos. And
yep,
that's totally cool, right? The content is still there. And so I really admire you for that. And I think I need to just pull my finger out and just make the bloody video.
But you know, it's relative, right? Like, you should definitely be proud of yourself, right, for what you've done with your podcast. I know that you have a lot of people who look up to you as well with what you've done. When they say, "Oh, how could you go out and busk, in public?" Like that's stuff that I don't know if I would do, right? So it's relative.
So I should probably mention to everyone listening that we're part of an accountability group, and this is something that you initiated, George. Can you share why you started this accountability group and why you feel it's so important for people like us who are looking to make a difference in the world to be part of it?
Yep. I think the best way to describe it is, lone wolf syndrome. All right. So one thing I noticed when I was working back at Hub as well and interacting with all these freelancers and startups, I think a lot of the times when entrepreneurs or aspiring entrepreneurs get started with anything, they look to their heroes, and a lot of time we only see them as a single figure. But we forget, or most people maybe don't realize, that those people got there with the help and support of like so many other people, right? And I think when you're starting out, you think you need to do everything on your own. And very quickly, for those of you who have already initiated that phase, you'll realize that it's really shitty being on your own and trying to work everything out on your own. There are some people who probably have a better resilience when it comes to, working on their own. Maybe they like it. But for a large majority of us, I found that, we're far more productive when we're in a group. And this is kind of you can call it pack mentality as opposed to like a herd mentality. Pack is more just like highly focused, smaller, close-knit groups. Where a herd is just like, lots and lots of people.
Like a flock of sheep.
Yeah, exactly, right? And so, for those who have been following my work, I have a thing for wolves, so I like using those analogies. And so the accountability group is called the pack, and I've used the same principles that you'd find with wolves out in the wild with the group. So in the wild, you never see a pack that's greater than 12 and maybe less than, say 4. So I actually wanted to have a group that was in between that range, so maybe about 6 to 12. And I wanted that group to be highly focused on an outcome. And this sort of accountability is also what the wolf teaches, in terms of they're not cheetahs, right? They're not sprinters, wolves. When they work together, it's like daily, and they trot. Apparently, like wolves can tread miles for long. Like they're all about stamina, right? And that's where the whole patience, persistence, and momentum comes for it, the Will Come Show. And
hashtag PPM.
Yep, exactly. Good job. Yeah, and that's exactly the same principle that I wanted to apply for this particular group. Because the other thing too is that the daily accountability is also what I saw lacking in other accountability groups. So when you have a mastermind group that meets every month or even weekly or even bi-weekly, it's great, but there are times where the daily efforts, you need that more so than the other things. I know we're all busy, but there's a discipline that comes with the daily accountability that just helps in the long run. And also it cements the bonds with the pack itself 10 times. And you see this in sports teams as well, right? The teams that kind of spend more time with each other, not just playing on the field, but also out on the field, is what makes them like a family and a team unit. And these same principles, I believe, can be applied to business, corporate world, etc. It's not always just about the individual talent. It's about how those people work together, whether they're all going towards the same goal or not. And that's kind of what I wanted there. And you mentioned about the offline aspect as well.
Yes, well, I know that that's something because your specialty is growing communities in an offline sense, because, I mean, people are a part of communities online, but sometimes we forget to actually grow these relationships and nurture them offline as well.
Mm. Yeah, and that's exactly, I guess obviously from my experiences dealing with co-working communities, I realized that, at the end of the day, we're all still human. The online aspect is just a way for us to accelerate our connections, but it's still a tool for doing that. I You know, it's a hard thing to say because there are some people who say like you can emulate. You know, you got virtual reality coming in. You know, maybe in the future you might be able to emulate that face-to-face experience through virtual reality, but there's still a barrier like, in terms of the tool that you're using. Whereas with face-to-face, like you've got energy there, you know, that you feed off of one another. And in terms of building relationships, which, you know, I think in terms of like sales today, it's all about like genuine relationships with people and building that trust. And I think when you're face to face, you can do that a lot more effectively. But you know, but that's my opinion of it. The offline aspect as well, in terms of communication, it allows you to not hide behind a computer screen all the time. You know, and this is the thing about like online community versus offline. An online community, it's very easy for you to troll if you want. You know, to do things that you might not do otherwise in person. That can be good or bad. But whereas with offline, you're exposed to the diversity of like real human beings. You have to learn how to actually communicate, read body language, not just what you see here. All those sort of things are just like core human people skills that I think will become even more important in the future. So I think that's why now we can talk about offline as something special because, you know, everything's gone online. Whereas once upon a time, if I said offline, people would be like, yeah, okay, that's normal life, you know?
Yeah, that's how we're designed to be. That's how we've always been.
Exactly. So it's only now, it's funny that like I can actually call it an offline community specialist, but that's only because of the times that we're in, you know? Handwritten letters, right? I saw a new tech startup called Bond or something, where they've got this machine that emulates, so you put in your style of handwriting, and then it'll emulate your style of writing through a machine onto like thousands or millions of letters to have people feel like it's actually handwritten. And
Oh wow.
yeah, it's pretty cool, but also at the same time, you know, you always look at the basic consumer knowledge. If everybody knows that like it's just machines producing these handwritten letters, then it'll lose its
Oh yeah,
uniqueness.
definitely. And it could almost be worse because it's like you're trying to trick me into thinking that this is handwritten when really it's not. Just
So
another
yeah.
bloody computer.
Exactly. But that's, I think, in terms of communication, like what you're talking about. Communication, one thing I like about what you do, Christina, is that you're talking about communication like the core principles of communication. You know, you got a podcast, I got a like video YouTube show, but all those things are just tools and extensions of basic communication. And that will always change. But once again, what Wolf teaches is like body language, you know, general basic principles of human to human communication, how to work with other people, and also how to be strong on your own, and also be able to make sure that you're communicating the right things, verbally, gestures, etc.
So at the moment you're doing some work with co-working spaces and helping them to foster their own offline communities. What are the main things that they actually need help with when it comes to actually growing and nurturing an offline community?
Yeah, so I guess my specialty is being able to first give them a great foundation for starting, because I've already been through the crazy stages of a growing co-working space. But granted, like what I'm doing, I'm not just engaged with co-working spaces. It's really any business that is community driven and wants to do something to engage with people, because that's all I do, right? It's like I motivate people towards something, or community towards something, and I help with the engagement. But what I'm doing right now with current clients is getting them first those foundations, helping them to realize that, one, if they've already started with the space, tell them you're already behind, because I always say community first, space second,
Okay.
right? And but if they haven't started with the space, then to actually be part of the process for the community building efforts before the space is found, and to just help shape and strengthen the bonds between the people, and that happens online, you know, if it's a kind of dispersed community, and then be present in the offline communications or meetups, and get them ready for the starting phases as well. And of course, as they're growing, the other thing is helping out with the hiring and the training of their community managers. And that's something I really enjoy, because obviously, having been through it myself, I believe that this is a unique profession and role that will be on the rise here in Australia. In the US and UK, it's kind of been there. They're more mature markets, but in Australia, there's a lot of new spaces coming up, and I see a lot of misinformation about what a community manager should and shouldn't do. And the offline community manager has their own specific skill sets that are unique to it compared to online community managers.
And you're talking about co-work spaces specifically or any organization?
Any organization. To be honest, what I predict happening is that the community manager, the skill sets developed by offline community managers, that's what I'm going to call them, offline community managers will be relevant for other bigger businesses and corporations, because what community managers are doing offline is essentially what HR managers need in order to increase employee engagement, to increase retention of their staff, etc. Right? It's all about vibe. You could call us like hype men or hype women, right? It's like, we get the energy up, we get the hype, we connect people, and we're not just making work about work, but more than that. Salesforce, I saw that they have now a dream manager, right? This guy is dedicated to helping staff create their own dreams or achieve their own dreams using the company's resources, which is brilliant because they
Wow.
realized from the data that in order to keep your employees, you need to actually help them with their life outside of the work. And it makes sense.
Dream manager.
Yeah, dream manager.
Now that's cool. Now I normally tell people to not use their job title when they tell people what they do, but if I was a dream manager, I would say,
Yeah,
I'm a
you
dream
did.
manager.
Yeah, that's definitely a conversation starter or icebreaker.
Now you are a big fan of Snapchat, and you were going on and on at me about getting on Snapchat until
Yes, you're on now.
I finally got on it, and I've used it a
Yes.
little bit now. I'm still not, I don't know, I feel like I have to be on it all the time. Is that true?
It's kind of like any, it's kind of like anything, right? With any tool, when it's hot, when it's fresh, you gotta roll with it. And yes, it takes commitment and hustle, like anything else. With your own business, you gotta apply the same things. But obviously, big up thanks to Gary Vaynerchuk for getting me onto it. I mean, I was on it already, but I wasn't seeing its value from the way I saw Gary using it.
How's he using it?
He's using it as a way to actually show people like his actual hustle, right? If you look at like he's so clear in what he's about and what he wants to do that any new tool that comes in is just an extension for that for marketing in the year that we are in. And that's all he ever talks about. The reason why a lot of big businesses fail with their marketing is because they come too late to the party and they forget to market in the year that they are. Snapchat, I may look at Gary and be like, yeah, I'm listening to Gary about Snapchat, but he was listening in on everybody else and seeing what was happening there before he really went all in. And so 2016, Snapchat, the reason why it's so hot right now is because the engagement level is a lot higher than Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn even. And it's a timing thing. And this is what I'm also noticing with a lot of social media tools. It's all about these waves. When they're new, everybody's going on. So obviously it's the hottest thing. People are engaging a lot more. And for if you got your core message on point, then it's far easier to get across to, your fans, with it. So yeah, Snapchat has been, I think, a great way to show more personal things. It's kind of like a behind the scenes. If you look at like the DVD feature sets, behind the scenes stuff, that's kind of what I use Snapchat for as well. I don't want it just to be about, oh, here I'm in the city today. This is what I did there. This is the cake that I had. I don't want it to become an Instagram. That's
Or like
not
feeling
what
bored, waiting for the elevator. Here's a funny
exactly.
face.
And you'll notice that those same behaviors were on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, actually. The same behaviors have been carried across each channel. But it's all about how you use it. And I guess for me, my message is all about like, it will come. So I'm going to talk about the same type of things I talk about on the show, but in a much more intimate manner on Snapchat. And what I really like about Snapchat is that like the ability to tell stories, it's so much quicker. Like I don't have to worry about like doing my video, importing into Camtasia, editing it, and then publishing to like separate things. It's just like I can do all the cutting straight away, get it out one after another, and it just feels a lot more intuitive.
And the video only gives you 15 seconds, right?
And see, that was my mistake. It was actually 10 seconds. You know, when,
Oh.
so yeah, when you did your pitch, it was 10 seconds as opposed to 15 seconds, which is insane.
Just to let people know, so
Yeah.
when we had our in-person meetup, George said, "Okay, great. Guys, I'm gonna Snapchat you doing your elevator pitch, and you've got 15 seconds. Go." So we all tried to do a 15-second pitch for ourselves and our businesses. But you're saying now that was only 10 seconds, because
That was only 10
it felt like it was really, really quick, and we had to practice a few times, but finally got it. That was a really interesting exercise, actually. And then George did an episode of the It Will Come show about how the days of the 90-second elevator pitch are gone, and it's now the
10
10-second
second
Snapchat
Snapchat.
pitch.
And I heard just the other day from DJ Main Event, who's now in Miami. He was telling me that now, I think for actors, they're accepting Snapchat pitches. So what's
What?
that? 10 seconds. Yep.
Oh my God. But I guess
Yeah.
it forces you to be creative, doesn't it? But
Exactly.
with the videos, with Snapchat, and this is something that I didn't know, and I think it's a fairly new feature that they've added, is where you can do stories, right? So what you do is you take a 10-second video, and then you can take another 10-second video, and then another one, and another one, and then add them to your story, which then people can play at the end of the day and see all these videos in one line. So I'll see people who I'm following on Snapchat, they'll be telling a whole story, but in 10-second blocks.
Yep.
So if you're clever like that, then you can figure out a way to stitch it all together and actually tell a longer story.
Yep, exactly. I've experimented with some of that previously. So I remember when I used to pitch animation stories or ideas, I'd use PowerPoint and slides in about maybe 3 to 5 second intervals as well. And I forgot what it's called, but there's actually a name for this style of presenting where it's like 3 seconds per
Is that
slide.
Pecha Kucha?
Possibly, but I love it, you know? And I
Yeah.
feel like the My Story thing is essentially that. And it's effective, you know? Like, I enjoy, there are some really creative folks on Snapchat who are using it in that fashion. There's a guy, I think his account is like Mindloom or something. And he actually does like these book reviews all the time. And I'm still trying to figure out how he does some of these things. But like, he has a setup and he's not near the camera at all. So I don't know who's holding the damn Snapchat like record button. You know, I was
Maybe he
like,
has a really long selfie stick.
maybe, I don't know. Or there's somebody else, you know, obviously holding it for him. But yeah, you know, he's using it very creatively. So it's like each of his mind looms every day is about, yeah, a new book, a review, how it's connected to all these other books. And I learn something new every time. And like that type of content, I look forward to watching because it's like storytelling. The like you know DJ Khaled, right? For him, it's more about I'm just fascinated by what a celebrity's life is like behind the scenes. And you know, seeing DJ Khaled because he's always on, it's crazy. You know, sometimes I feel like I'm there with him. And I think that's the point of stuff like Snapchat or Periscope or Meerkat. It's about like getting inside the world of everyone now. Before, you know, you had reality TV shows, huge productions, but now it can all be done Snapchat, you know? And if anything, it's a bit more authentic depending on what the style is of the person presenting. You know, I like to think that DJ Khaled, like the way he's presenting himself is him. And I'm assuming so because sometimes, you know, the shots of him aren't that glamorous. You know, he's yeah, anyways. But it's really interesting to see because it's like reality TV show, but like voluntary reality TV shows for everyone.
Yeah, I can imagine it's much more authentic than the filtered glam shots you get on Instagram of people, right? Who have posed 100 times to get the perfect picture.
Exactly.
So where can people see your Snapchat stories?
At Siosism, and now this is a mouthful, but it's at SIOSISM. I'll tell you the story so you can remember why it's called Siosism. Siosi is my Tuvaluan name. It actually means George. So when I say George Siosi Samuels, it's really translated to George Samuels. So yeah, Siosi is my Tuvaluan name, and the ism at the end of it comes from a time when I was helping somebody out, and they really appreciated the advice during that time, and they said, you know what, you should have your own philosophy. Why don't you call it Siosism? And I was like, you know what, that's great. I'm gonna do that, and that's how that came to be.
That's beautiful. I don't think Cantorism has quite the same ring to
Well,
it.
yeah, Yeah, I mean, it's I guess how often you repeat it, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger, I remember when he first went into Hollywood, he said, everyone told him that he should lose his last name, but he said, you know what, I'll say it enough times until people remember and learn how to say it.
Love that.
Yep.
Great way to finish up. Well, it's great to talk to you, George.
Likewise, thanks,
And
Christina.
I'll put links to the It Will Come show in the show notes, and but I won't be sending people to join your email list because I want to have more subscribers than you.
Fair enough.
This is an ongoing competition that we're having. So everyone listening, do not go to George's website and do not sign up for his email list to receive his amazing weekly tips. Do not go sign up.
Don't do that. You can do that after I get her onto my show and then, talk about her. Don't go to her site.
Big thanks to George COC Samuels for being an amazing guest on my show this week. I'll put links to his website and all the other things that we talked about in the show notes at thecmethod.com/itwillcome. Now, because we are having a little sign-up competition, even though I'm putting a link to his website, do not sign up for his email list and receive all his wonderful tips and updates, okay? Don't. Don't do it. Sign up for mine instead. Oh, speaking of sign-ups, I'm actually going to be sending out updates on my Philippines trip to my subscribers. And if you are already a subscriber and you've gone through the 21-day confidence course, you would have already received some of those updates. If you're not yet subscribed to my email list, just head on over to thecmethod.com/newsletter. That's thecmethod.com/newsletter. Sign up there for updates as well as exclusive tips, things that I don't share on the blog or the podcast. All right, and that's all from me for episode 48. Thank you so much for listening. Keep on being awesome, and I'll see you real soon for another episode. My name's Christina Canters, and this has been Stand Out, Get Noticed. That was The Lazy Song by half Filipino Bruno Mars. Today I don't feel like doing anything. Do 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 do.